Before we get going this morning, I want to remind you about the sign over here. And as I read it, if you would read it with me. The prophetic flows freely. Harvest is ripe. Prodigals return home. Vision is renewed. Dreams are fulfilled. Strength increases. Growth multiplies. Joy replaces every tear. And a song of restoration. When Pastor asked me a couple of weeks ago to minister, I knew immediately. He said, is there one of these topics that you'd like to minister? And I said, yeah, God had already been speaking to me, and I'd already started working on notes. So I'm not going to apologize for being a little excited, because this goes right along with me. And I want to talk to you this morning about joy replacing every tear. And like I started to say earlier, for joy to replace every tear, what has to be there first? The tears. We're going to experience some trials in life, pure and simple. That's just the way it is. We were not promised that when we got saved that everything was going to be perfect and sunshine and rainbows and all cheery. We all have to deal with life. Now, I am going to tell you this morning, and I'm going to be just a little bit real with you this morning, because that's just who I am. Life is not fair. It is not fair. All the people that said that, you know, and I was very careful with Max when Max was growing up. You want to encourage your kids, but I was very careful not to say you can be anything that you want to be. Because if we're really honest, I'm not going to be a jockey. I am not going to be on a racehorse somewhere. Nor am I going to be a professional football player. That's not going to happen either. I have to understand there are limitations to who I am, of what God has put on the inside of me. He put stuff on the inside of me for a specific purpose that I am called to. And when we teach our kids and when we're raising them up, we need to teach them and let them know that you can be exactly who God has intended you to be. That God has put special things on the inside of you. Every kid needs to know that they're special. They need to know that they were designed specifically by God for a purpose. Because there are too many kids, too many people wandering around in society today that have no purpose. That they're lost. They have no idea what they're supposed to be doing, where they're supposed to be going. They're aimlessly wandering, and all they can do is just trap others, and they gather like-minded people around them, and it's just a bunch of people just kind of dwelling in the middle of nothing, doing nothing, fulfilling nothing. Just look at... Social media irritates me. I joined Facebook forever ago. I was one of the old MySpacers, for those of you who remember that. I'm an old fart, I know. But I was one of those MySpacers. You know, I had the big Superman logo, the steel background. I had the cool MySpace. And then, like, in no time, Facebook showed up and blew MySpace out of the water. Well, I joined Facebook to keep in touch with some old friends that I had in high school and college and that moved off. And then, but it's turned into the, it's just a constant feed of junk. It's a constant feed of stuff that I don't want to see, that I don't care about. People, you know, and people get trapped in this thing thinking that that's reality, and they just see the highlights of people's life and they think, well, my life's not, and it's depressing. It really is. And then you got others that just tell you everything about their life. You know, I had a tomato with salt for breakfast. Good for you. I mean, seriously. I mean, yes, I love you, but come on. We have to realize that there's purpose. And the purpose is more than just sharing what you had for breakfast. Sometimes people need to see real. They need to see truth. Does it mean it's easy? Does it mean it's always going to be fun? No. Unfortunately not. But it means it's real. And it means that we have an opportunity every single day to change lives. And that's what it's about. At some point in time, we all deal with stuff. In Psalms chapter 126, Psalms 126, 1 through 5, says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among them, among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord. Bring back our streams, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. We love that second part. We love, oh, those who sow in tears reap in joy. Yeah, but you have to go through the river. You have to go through. You have to accomplish something. You have to deal with something before you can get the reward. Today's society is all about getting the reward for absolutely nothing. You know, it's all our participation trophies. I'm old school. If you lost, you lost. You suck it up. You figure out what you did wrong. You train harder. You work to become better, and you try again. You know, I was old school when not everybody made the team. You know, I can remember, you know, going with my best friend, trying out for baseball teams. He was the baseball player. I was the bat boy. I couldn't see. My vision was horrible. There's no way I could swing a bat. But I was there anyway. And I can remember times that he didn't make the team. So what happened? I'm pitching to him. He's working on his swing. And next thing you know, the next year he made the team. Because what happened? Even the greats, not going to get into the debate, it's still Michael Jordan, got cut freshman year. Could have stopped. Could have stopped playing basketball at that point. Could have listened to his coach that said he wasn't big enough, he wasn't tall enough, he wasn't strong enough. So what did he do? He turned around, he worked his butt off. He worked every single day. He worked out with the upperclassmen. He lost. When I first started wrestling, I was little. I was really little. I mean, in middle school, I was still wearing kid-sized jeans. I was a little kid. But I played football, which was really crazy. I was literally the smallest guy on the football team. But I had an older brother. And my older brother taught me to be a little tough because I used to play football with no pads, you know, backyard ball with my brother and his friends. You know, most of the time felt like I was the ball. But they taught me to be tough and suck it up. You know, you get hurt, you get knocked down, you get up, you brush it off, and you keep going. So I learned that. So I had this one guy that used to follow me around, and he said, you were the craziest thing. He said, you were like all helmet and shoulder pads. He said, it was like his ghost uniform floating. He said, but we called you the headhunter. He said, I don't know if you knew it. There was about three of us teachers that used to follow your football games. He said, because you were this little next to nothing, and you would jump in front of the biggest guys on the team and try to tackle them. I knew that I was nothing. But I wanted to be something. So I set a goal. I saw myself in the future. I saw what I wanted to become. So when I started wrestling and I got hooked in with some friends, they're like, okay, this is what you need to do. I listened. I opened up my ears. I shut my mouth and I listened to what the upperclassmen were saying. I looked at who had what I wanted and I aimed. Too many times we're aiming for nothing. We've got to do stuff on purpose. We've got to get to the point. When you see someone that has something that you don't, that you want, you don't just sit around and say, must be nice. Must be nice to be putting a pool in. Must be nice to have a business. I want to say, did you put the work in? Did you plant the seed? Did you spend the restless nights and countless hours doing the work when nobody else was around in order to make that shipment? If you want something, you have to work for it. God is the same way. God wants to bless us. He wants to give us stuff, but he's not just sitting there with a free checkbook saying, I'm just going to start flinging checks out. Here you go. Here you go. It's got to be to the point that we have to start realizing that we have to plant seed, that we're going to have to put some labor in, that we're going to have to work. Faith is free. You know, it costs you nothing. The blood of Jesus is free, period. There's nothing that you can do to earn the blood of Jesus. But blessings, man, if you want blessings, plant some seed. If you want rewards, plant some seed. We've got to stop eating our harvest and wondering how come things aren't coming my way. But we've got to do that. We've got to put actions to it. We have to deal with the storms of life to realize that we're going to get through those storms. It's not all even. There is, as sad as it is, it breaks my heart. It is so sad, the amount of discrimination you still see. I mean, it is 2026, and there are still neighborhoods that a young black man cannot drive through without somebody calling the cops on him. I'm like, seriously, are we still dealing with this junk? There are people of a Middle Eastern descent that still cannot get on an airplane without people looking at them and judging them, profiling. People just trying to live their lives. It happens to all of us. At 36, I decided I wanted to go back to college and finish my degree. So I decided, okay, maybe I can find some financial aid. So I got to digging and searching and doing all the stuff that I knew to do, looking for all the things that I knew to look at. Chris is laughing. He knows. There is absolutely zero financial aid for a straight white male. You change any of those and you can find tons of financial aid anywhere. But for a straight white male, there is no financial aid. I was floored. I was like, seriously? So you know what I did? I paid for it myself. And God blessed me. I landed a job better than I ever thought I would. And he just continues to amaze me and bless me. Because I didn't just stop and sulk in the storm. I didn't just sit there and start pouting in the middle of the rain. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to do something. You see, we've all heard Psalms chapter 30, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We like that verse. But we forget the first four. Psalms chapter 30, verse 1, he says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. David was in the midst of a struggle when he wrote this. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. See, that's what set up for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. The weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. I'm not making light of what anybody has gone through. There are things in life that are not fair. You know, it breaks my heart every time I hear of like a kid with cancer. I'm like, seriously. And Pastor did such a remarkable job. I almost kind of wish he would teach that message again over why bad things happen to good people. We don't know all the answers. We don't. We're not going to know. You will drive yourself crazy trying to figure out God. You can't. We don't have the ability or the comprehension to figure out why God allows what he allows. But what he does is he loves. Always. He loves us through. He doesn't just love us to, but he loves us through. And yes, we have to deal with stuff, and we don't know why we have to deal with stuff. And life's not fair, and we're dealing with the pains, and we're dealing with the struggles. But on the other side, when the storm's over, that joy comes. We have to develop that attitude of the three Hebrew children in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love the way they approached the situation because they knew who they were. And sometimes even knowing who you are, just because you've been a Christian for 10 years, 15 years, 50 years, doesn't mean you're still not going to go through trials. It's still going to happen. So they're brought before the king because they wouldn't bow and worship the statue. And I love what they said. And they said to the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O Lord, O King." Because he will, one way or the other, they were going to die or God was going to deliver them. They're being delivered one way or the other. He said, verse 18, "But if not..." We have to realize that sometimes we don't get the answer we want. And it's okay. It's okay because sometimes God knows better. We limit God so often by saying, "God, I need you to do this. I need you to do this." And we get so specific with our prayers. "God, I need you to move at this particular moment, at this particular time, in this certain way, so I can make sure that I have this in place." God's like, "Psh, I'll do what I want to do." And the thing that I figured out in my few years, his way is always better. I told you when I went back to school, got my degree, a job came open, I applied for it. Didn't get it. I was mad. I was overqualified. I'd been with the state for 15 years, more than qualified for the position. Told me I did a great interview, didn't get the job. I was frustrated. And Tiff just kept telling me, if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. Let him shut the doors that need to be shut. And open the doors that need to be opened. Listen to your wise wives. Very soon, it wasn't 4 months after that, I was able to land another job with the state exactly where I needed to be, where I wanted to be. And it was a perfect fit for me. And I had no idea that I even wanted that position. Didn't even know that position was really there. God knows where we're at. He sees where we're at. So when one door shuts, we've got to stop throwing these adult temper tantrums when we don't get our way. Stuff doesn't always work your way. Stuff doesn't always work the way we want it to work. We got to quit pitching a fit. And realize that God knows more than we do. And when we can trust him, and that's the hardest thing to do, isn't it? To trust when we don't know, because we don't know all the facts. We're in this very little window and know this little bit. God knows everything. He's already put stuff in motion. There have already been things set in motion for years that are going to come to fruition exactly when they need to be, as long as we don't jack it up because we're trying to make stuff happen when we shouldn't be there. Because we think we know better. Yeah. We don't know better than God. He has a plan. And when we rely on his plan, when we put our faith and our trust in him, it happens. I'm reminded of the centurion that told Jesus, he said, "You have, but say the word. I am a man of authority. When I tell this soldier to do this, he does it. When I tell him to come, he comes. When I tell him to go, he goes. He understood how authority worked. Lord willing that we could grasp that concept. Jesus said, such faith I have not seen. And when we realize the power that we have through the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we can tell that demon to go and he has to go. When we command the blessings to come and they have to come. Because we have the authority that Jesus granted us. He said, such authority I have, I give unto you. And we treat it like, okay, just take it, put it in our back pocket. I might pull it out when I need it. We need to walk in that. When we realize truly the blessings that we have, how much God wants us to be blessed, how he desires for us to be blessed, just as we want the best for our kids, just as we want to see our kids grow up and be successful and be blessed, how much more does our Heavenly Father want that for us? But yet we get them trapped in this little bit. You know, when we walk through these rainstorms and think, oh, woe is me, everything's falling apart. Like, no, we've got a mission. We've got a purpose. This rain is just for a moment. It's not just for us. We have to realize, we went with pastors to a conference, and the title of the conference just, it latched onto me. It was called the Encounter Conference. And just something about that name just really hit me. It's about an encounter. You know, we have to realize that it's not about our mama's encounter. It's not about our daddy's encounter with God. It's not about grandma and grandpa's encounter with God. It's about your encounter with God. It's about your personal relationship. It's got to be you. It's got to be something that you latch onto. Nobody else is going to get you into heaven. It's got to be that personal one-on-one with Jesus. It's got to be realizing that he is my Savior, that he is the one that died for me, that he is the one that rose on the third day. And it's when we have that realization, when come to Jesus moment, when it all makes sense and the light gets flipped on and we say, you know what? Now I see. I see because he's my Savior. He's my God. He's my deliverer. He's my healer. And when you realize that, when we latch on to that, that's when it becomes real. That's when it's not about just going to church. That's when it's not about just showing up at a house and saying, yep, I went to church today. So what? It's got to be to the point to where it's real. You have that connection with God because that's what makes it all happen. And when you know what? Anybody ever been to a great restaurant? I love meat. I love steak. I love a good steak. I learned how to cook a good steak from a Montana rancher back in my restaurant days. How he ended up in a little podunk town in Missouri, I don't know. But he taught me how to cook steaks. So I learned how to cook a good steak, and I love a good steak. So when I go to a restaurant and they have a good steak, I'm going to go tell somebody. That's the place you need to go. You want a steak? That's where you need to go. We see a good movie. We read a good book. What do? We go tell some, hey, you looking for a good book? I got a good book for you. You need to read this book. When was the last time we told somebody about Jesus? You know, Jesus moved in my life. Man, Jesus flipped me upside down, ran my head in the ground a little bit, stood me up and said, get moving. And he blessed me. And he can bless you too. We've got to realize it's got to be that personal encounter, and it's that encounter that we've got to share with others. Our goal, what Jesus said, he said, go into all the world, making disciples of every nation. That's what we do. That's our vision, and that's what we're doing, is we're creating opportunities. We go and we teach pastors, and we build up pastors that are going into mountains and villages and towns that we could never in a million years get to. And they're taking what we give them, they're taking the encouragement, and they're riding into those places, and they're sharing the gospel. We are fulfilling that vision. And that's what we have to do. It's got to be more than just about us. It's got to be about doing what we need to be doing for Jesus. It's that encounter. There are people out there living their humdrum lives day in, day out, and they're trapped in the everyday. They get stuck. I've been there. We all go through those stages in life to where we get just so caught up and wrapped up in life that time just flies by. And it's like, what have I accomplished in the last 6 months? I don't know. Has it been 6 months? What day is it? There are days that I find, is it Thursday, Tuesday, Wednesday? I don't know. Because we get busy. We get so caught up in what we have to do. But sometimes we've got to make ourselves. We have to make an effort to slow ourselves down because we're letting opportunities pass us by on a daily basis that we can be expressing. And it's not about beating somebody over the head with the Bible, but it's about making yourself available. And when you make yourself available, God will bring the people to you. God will open up the doors and provide the way. I quit praying a long time ago. I stopped praying, God, bring people to me to minister to. I started praying, God, help me to see the people that you're bringing to me. Give me the words to say to them that are going to encourage them and mean something in their life. Because I know he provides the opportunities, but sometimes I know that I fail to see them in my weakness, in my busyness, in my hurried up, whatever I got to get accomplished for the day. Because that's what it's about. It's about taking that gospel, that hope that we have, that encounter that we had with Jesus when it became real. Whatever it was, whether it was at a youth camp, whether it was at a church revival, whether it was on our knees in our bedroom praying one night when our entire world was falling apart, whatever that encounter moment was with Jesus, somebody else needs to hear about that. Somebody needs to know that they're not alone in what they're going through. Because that's what it's about. Satan does everything he can to make people think that they are alone, that they are the only ones going through it, that everything, that there's no way out, that this is all that they're going to have, all that they're going to be, and gets them trapped in this cloud and this fog of this is just where I'm at and where I'm always going to be. But it's amazing. You put just a little bit of sunlight, shine it in the fog, and that fog just starts dissipating. You just need a little bit of light. And that's what he's calling us to be the light. To be, you know, if God puts somebody on your heart, it's for a reason. It's that still small voice on the inside of us. When you think of someone that you haven't thought of in 6 months or a year, and God drops them in your mind, stop and pray for them. Send them a text. Check on them. There's a reason for that. It's not just a coincidence. Oh, I haven't thought of them in a while. Let's go back to working. No, do something. God's calling us to be active. We've got to stop sitting on our hands and getting so caught up in the busyness of everything that we're doing. Not that what we're doing's bad. But we've got to be more aware of what's going on around us. We've got to be more aware of living life on purpose. So that when we're going through the hard times and when we see people, we get so wrapped up in our own lives that we fail to see when our neighbors are hurting. We fail to see when our neighbors are struggling. We fail to see that they're going through stuff too. And they need somebody. Maybe they need you. Maybe they need you to say, hey, it's none of my business. I don't want to intrude, but if you need me, I'll pray for you. Can I pray for you? Maybe if you know something about their situation, maybe you know they're going through a hard time. Maybe it's dropping off some groceries on their front porch and taking off before they know you're there. Wave at the doorbell. You know? He's calling us to do something, to get past what we're trapped in. People need to see you smiling through the pain. I've taken it as my mission to tell everyone that I can the meaning of James chapter 1. because I got the revelation of that a long time ago. And I've learned inside of me what it means to count it all joy when you're going through the trials and the temptations and the storms. I know what it means when you can still have the smile on your face when you don't understand, when your heart is breaking and feels like it's been ripped out of your chest, and you still know that you have to trust God, because that's all that you know, is to trust God. When you have no idea where your next breath is coming from, but you still trust Him, and you still know that He is God. That's what He's calling us to do. It's that revelation of knowing that I don't know it. That's what verse 5 means when it says, if any man lack wisdom, if as you're going through the storm, God doesn't expect us to know everything, but if we lack wisdom and understanding, we can ask Him for it, and He gives it to us. God, open my eyes. Help me to see how I can use this experience to benefit Your kingdom. Sometimes it's just coming to our senses and telling the storm, peace, be still. I will never forget this. As an inspector working for the state, we were working on a bridge project out in the middle of nowhere, out on the other side of House Springs. And there was rain forecast the day, and we'd already called off our bridge deck pour 3 times. And we were running almost a year behind schedule because we ended up hitting a failing stream underground that showed up where our footing was supposed to be. So, I mean, we delay after delay after delay, and we finally got the bridge deck pour scheduled, and these clouds are coming. And the contractor foreman knew who I was, and he said, hey, now might not be a bad time to pray. And he was joking. So I stood there on the bridge deck and he said, you know what? That's a good idea. So I did. I stood there on the bridge deck and I said, God, I know this is nothing for You. I said, I'm just a little peon down here, but we really need to get this done today. So any help would be greatly appreciated. Thank You for Your mercy on me. And wouldn't you know it? It rained on both sides of our bridge and did not rain on our pour that day. I gained such a witness with that foreman that every time he saw me, he would just look at me and said, hey, I'm like, dude, stop. God answers prayers. He opens doors. He opens opportunities for us if we pay attention. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. As Christians, we are to be creating the opportunity for others to have that encounter. We can't get so hung up on our way of thinking that we push people aside because they don't see it the way we do. I'm reminded of those, everybody's seen those pictures that has like the two, has the little lines, and it's like, well, look at that. What do you see? I said, well, I see a candlestick. Well, no, I see two faces. What do you see in this picture? Well, I see an old lady. No, I see a young lady. Or for those of more recently, you see the shoe. Is the shoe pink and gray, or is it green and white? Or do you hear Yanny, or do you hear Laurel? People argue. I heard people like verge of yelling because, no, this is what it says. No, this is what it says. We are different people. You are not me. I am not you. I don't know the experiences that you've gone through in your life. Maybe some of my experiences might be similar, and we can share those things, and we can build off of them, and we can build each other up. And that's what God calls us to do. But what we have to realize is that everybody's going through something. Everybody sees things from their perspective, from their point of view. And it's okay. Because what I've realized is it doesn't matter what point of view you look at them from, God's still the same. He's still a God that answers prayers. He's still a God that saves. Nothing changes that. Doesn't matter how you try to look at it. He is still God. So you can take and listen to the stories. You can take and listen to what people are saying. And you can try to find ways to relate common experiences and look for the doors that God opens for you in order to do that. But realize that they are different. Once the door opens, present God to him and let God do the change. He doesn't tell us to change anyone. What we do is we present the gospel in a way that lets them have their encounter with him, that lets them see that there is hope in their storm, that there can come joy from their tears. How do we deal with storms? As I start to close, how do we deal with the storms? Step number one in dealing with storms is realize storms are going to happen. Period. That's it. Well, how do I avoid the storms? You don't. Everybody's going to go through storms. But you know, when you want to talk storm preparation, it's a different story when you want to talk storm prep with someone who lives in Ohio versus someone who lives in Oklahoma. Storm prep means something totally different when you live in Oklahoma, because they're prepared for the storms. They've seen the storms of life. Most of them have been through the storms. So we prepare for the storms. We have to prepare. How do we prepare? We bring an umbrella. We bring the gear that we need. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm not going to go into all of it. Read it. Take some time. Read it on your own. Remind yourself. It's okay to read scriptures that you already know, because it helps remind us of who we are and what God has set up for us. When it talks about the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, we put on that armor of God. That's how we prepare for the storms of life. We take our word. You got to know what your tools are. Otherwise, you're just carrying around an empty box. Number two, we have to realize it's just temporary. Storms are going to come, but storms will pass. Now, I know, and I've been through them, I know sometimes storms last a long time. Sometimes they do. But when we read God's word, we can see the examples in there of the people who've gone through stuff, people that were promised by God, and it was decades later that they got their answer. But wait a minute, what was that last bit? They got their answer? It was decades later, but they got their answer. The answer's coming. We have to be patient. Patience, very definition, waiting when we don't want to. It's hard. But when we endure, weeping endures for a night. Joy comes in the morning. When we know it's temporary, we learn to play in the puddles. It's about perspective. And I want to challenge your way of thinking a little bit this morning. When we go through storms, when we're dealing with the storms, yes, you have to. If there's lightning, you go outside, there's lightning, there's thunder, you take precautions, you deal with stuff. But sometimes it's just raining. The problem is we've gotten so scared from the lightning and thunderstorms that now even when we get just a little bit of rain, we're running for cover. You take a little kid outside when we have one of those warm spring rains, what do? They're looking for the biggest puddle they can find. And the cool part is if you ever watch them, you can just like see it on their face. I mean, it's like they're looking at it and it's just like, They found it. And it's like straight for it. And they're just jumping. I was watching this little reel or whatever one time. This kid was going down a slide and there was a puddle at the end of the slide. And he happened to stop at the end of the slide before he got down. So he got off the slide, then ran and belly flopped in the puddle. He's like, I'm landing in the puddle. When we're going through the storms, when we recognize, when we realize that sometimes it's just rain, it's just the devil yelling and screaming. He's got no teeth. He's like an old chihuahua. It's 15 years old, has no teeth left. It just gnaws on you a little bit. There's no teeth. So what do? You have fun. Play in the rain. Dance in the rain. Jump in the puddle. Realize it's temporary, that it's okay. Yes. This just means that something better is on the way. Change your way of thinking. Because when you trap yourself into, oh man, it's a storm. Oh man, it's a storm. That fear sets in. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Not given us a spirit of fear. Notice there's no limitations on that scripture. It doesn't say he's not given us a spirit of fear except for when this happens. He has not given us a spirit of fear. So no matter what the storm is, no matter how it faces you, that's how we can maintain the joy in the midst of stuff, knowing it doesn't matter what he throws at me. It's temporary. I know what my tools are. I know what my weapons are. This is going to be okay when I get through it because I am getting through it. And God is going to bless me on the other side. And when we do that, when we have that attitude, it changes our perception of things. And it will change your perception of reality. It changes your perception of how life happens. To where when the little speed bumps, that's what I call them, little speed bumps of life happen, you just drive right over them and keep going. Does it mean that you're not going to have them? No. We're not obtuse. We're not stuck there. Yes, cars are going to break down. You can't make up what's been happening against the staff of this church. Me and Tiff were talking the other day. Every single staff member has had something go on with their cars in the last 6 months. Every single one of us. I'm like, this is not a coincidence. This is a blatant attack. And I'm like, done. Nope. I know what my word says. Thief has been found out. And the Bible says when the thief has been found out, he must restore sevenfold. So our return is coming. We have to change our perspective. We have to speak positive things out of our mouth, which is hard when you're going through a storm. It is. I didn't say this was going to be easy. But when you're going in the midst of stuff, you still have to speak those positive words. Why? Because your words have life. We try so hard. We're trying really hard to teach Max that now because, bless Max's soul, his filter's not the greatest in the world. He has an excuse. But sometimes in the midst of the bad situation, David's men, when they got back to Ziklag, David's men were talking about stoning him because their situation was so bad. They just got back from a raid to find out that their camp had been raided, that their wives and children had been taken. They were tired. They were exhausted. The Bible says that they wept until they could weep no more. But it doesn't stop there. It says David encouraged himself. Sometimes we need to quit looking for someone else to be our way out. We need to quit looking for someone else to be our crutch, for someone else to provide everything else that we need to survive in life. Sometimes we need to realize that we need to encourage ourselves. We need to realize who we are in Jesus Christ, who he built us to be, the faith that's on the inside of us. Because when we do, then we start to realize the kind of power that our words have. That when we speak, we're speaking life to situations. We've got to stop speaking death. We've got to stop cursing ourselves. We've got to stop cursing the blessings. The Bible says cursings and blessings should not come out of the same mouth. Can a tree bear good and bad fruit? It shouldn't. We've got to speak blessings. People will call you crazy. People will call you insane. And those are the nice things. And it's okay. Because when you know who you are in God, when you start to realize that just a little bit, things change. Your perspective changes. How you see those storms that come at you changes. It puts things in perspective. And then number four, and the last one, turn around and help the next person in line. Everything that you go through, all the experiences that you have in life are examples that you have that you can use to reach others, because it's not about you. It's never been about you, but it's about the souls that we can take to heaven with us, because somebody needs to hear that it's going to be okay. Somebody needs to know in the middle of the lightning and the thunder that it's okay. They need to know that in the midst of the storms that they're going through, that it's okay to cry. You know, I grew up old school where, you know, boys don't cry. Suck it up. And it wasn't until I got older that I realized that is so not healthy. We all have emotion. We all do. Everybody presents it and gets rid of it in different ways. You know, I've had the conversation with Dwayne before when, you know, we were both kind of going through some stressful points in our life, and basically we were drowning ourselves in work. If I wasn't at work and he wasn't here at the church, we were mowing grass. And I mean, 6, sometimes 7 days a week, we were working. And then it dawned on me one day, and I asked him, when was the last time you did anything for you? And I knew the answer because it had been a long time since either one of us had done anything. It's probably the last, I think at that time, it was like the last time we'd went camping was the first time that we'd stopped. God gave me this revelation a long time ago that there comes a certain point, especially with men, that you've got to stop building it all up and you have to let it out. You have to have a positive outlet to let it out as a man. You know, we have testosterone that runs through our systems. That's the way God designed us. And when we build it, too many guys don't find ways to release it and they explode. And it explodes in violence, anger, fits. You see the guy that going postal on his truck in his garage, that's because he kept it built up too long. You have to find a way to get it out. From my limited experience, women are more emotional beings and they find comfort in their friends and talking about things. As guys, we were on a road trip once. Me, Dwayne, Tiff, and Miss. And we had been driving. Me and Dwayne were in one vehicle because me and Tiff weren't staying the whole time, so we were coming home. So me and Dwayne were in one vehicle. The girls were in another vehicle. They were in front of us. We'd been driving for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And we maybe said two sentences. And I think one of them was like, "You see that eagle? Cool." At one point in time, we looked up, and it looked like someone was playing charades. I mean, there were hands flying in the car. Like, what are they doing? But it's okay. It's okay. We're different. And when we realize and when we recognize that we're different and recognize that it's okay to be different, but yet you can match us together and we help each other and we build each other up. So when you get where you need to be, don't just stand there and look around. Yes, take a moment to say, "Yes, God, thank you for where I'm at." But be quick to turn around and look at for the next person who's struggling to get up the hill and reach your hand out and help them up. Because that's God's best. It's to help each other. That's what we're designed for. Relationships. Solid Rock Family Church. So if you're feeling alone this morning, I want to let you know that it's just a deception. We're a bunch of messed up people doing the best we can around here. God loves us. He forgives us. His mercy is new every single day. And when we remember that, we help each other up because that is what a family does. A family helps each other and lifts each other up. We are a Solid Rock Family Church. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. Thank you, Pastor.